From WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Across the United States, fewer girls aged 15 to 19 are having babies. That's according to the Centers for Disease Control. A report published last year shows that in 2015, teen pregnancies hit a historic low for a birth rate of 22.3 per 1,000 women ages 15 to 19. In New Hanover County, the teen pregnancy rate is slightly lower than the national number. Just over 20 15 to 19-year-old girls out of 1,000 gave birth in 2015. In Pender County, the rate is slightly above the national number at more than 25 per 1,000 girls. And in Brunswick County, the rate is even higher, more than 36 girls per 1,000, ages 15 to 19, had babies in 2015. The CDC says the reasons behind the drop in teen pregnancy aren't clear, but more teens may be delaying or reducing sexual activity. More of the teens who are sexually active may be using birth control than in previous years. Today, we're going to talk with two local experts who work with this population to help both the young parents and their babies. Donna Roby Sullivan is a founding director and the current treasurer of Samara's Village, a nonprofit that's only about a year old, founded in Brunswick County to support teens who become pregnant and to optimize healthy outcomes for mom, dad, and baby. Donna Roby Sullivan, welcome to Coastline.
Well, thank you, Rachel.
We're also very glad to have Annie Adams with us today. She is a teen parent specialist with communities in schools in New Hanover and Pender County. Annie Adams, welcome.
Thank you.
And we're inviting your questions on this Wednesday. If you have a question about teen pregnancy, the complexities around being pregnant before you've grown up yourself, or what kinds of resources are out there, you can give us a call on this Wednesday at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Donna Roby Sullivan of Samara's Village, since you helped found this nonprofit, tell us why. What was it about this cause that moved you so much?
It started with two of our founders walking in the morning and talking about how they could make a difference in our community. And both of them had a passion for teens and teen pregnancy. That was Catherine White and Jean Marie Lee. There was another girl a woman that went to our church, and her name was Jamie Meyer, who was a teen parent herself and is now an RN. The three of them got together and talked about, well, there's nothing in Brunswick County to address this issue, so maybe we should do something. My background is in business and I have a master's in nonprofit management, accounting, and they were expressing their interests to some other people, and they said, well, you need to talk to Donna because she can help get it all together. So the four of us were the four founding members, and the one thing that was most amazing about it is we first started talking about this in October of 2015. By January of 2016, we had our 501c3. It just usually doesn't happen that way.
And what is the goal of Samara's Village? You talk about a need. What was the need?
Well, the need was the fact that Brunswick County's teen pregnancy rate was so high compared to our peer counties and to North Carolina. Also, our repeat pregnancy rate for teens is very high and has risen since the 2014 to 2015. But in examining what you could do about the problem, we realized that we needed to educate, equip, and empower the girls to take control of their own lives and to become contributing, prosperous members of the community. Our overall goals are to reduce teen pregnancy rates and to reduce the to have a 0% child abuse rate, and as well as that, to have 100% of our girls graduate for high school.
Annie Adams, let's unpack that a little bit, because there may be many people listening who don't really know what the issues are around teen pregnancy. While there may be this sort of general idea that, well, it gets you off the educational career track, but what are the risks specifically to the young folks who have the children, who have, and what are the risks to the babies themselves?
Well, there are a lot of risks. You know, they are themselves children. They're still not quite ready for the responsibility of being a parent. And after working in this population for over 12 years now, seeing the risks and the demands of being a parent for a teenager is very detrimental and very challenging. So to raise yourself while still trying to raise a baby and deliver a baby healthy and to raise that baby healthy and to give them all the needs that they require is very challenging. And so programs like the ones that we're doing here in New Hanover, Pender, and Brunswick counties are really aiming to help to relieve some of those challenges.
And what could happen if there isn't help available? I mean, what are the bottom? You mentioned child abuse, Donna Roby Sullivan, and you want to reduce the incidence of child abuse, of course, to zero. But is that connected to teen pregnancy more than other kinds of domestic situations?
Yes, I would say so. I think the challenges and the stresses, it's very difficult. It's difficult to discipline and raise a child who, when you or yourself are under stress. So discipline is challenging, and those babies are in very stressful situations, act out more so than those that are in very positive situations. And so it's just a compounding issue, and it starts very young and it continues to grow as a child continues to grow.
Not all cases do the teen moms have a good role model of parenting. Their mother themselves were probably a teen mother, and that's quite common. And you have babies raising babies. It's difficult time of life.
Donna Roby Sullivan, with Samara's Village, how do you work to alleviate child abuse? How do you even go about addressing that?
I think that's mostly through education. Our core program is an evidence-based program called Partners for Healthy Baby. We have home visitors that go into the homes, and they have open conversations with the girls about, you know, how to parent, how to take care of the baby, if it's before the baby is born, how to take care of themselves and stay healthy, what kind of foods they should eat. They also do a lot of observation while they're in the home, and they can help make suggestions on how to improve their home life situation.
In the headline for this show, which you didn't hear, there's a statistic from the Centers for Disease Control that the U.S. teen pregnancy rate is substantially higher than in other Western industrialized nations. Why is that, Donna Roby Sullivan? I mean, what are some of the causes of why do kids wind up getting pregnant when that's not happening in other industrialized countries?
Well, could be democracy. I mean, we have a very freed society. Families and children growing up in the United States are privileged to a lot of, you know, other countries. There's also, I think the one thing is television. You can't, or even advertisements, you can't turn on the TV without seeing something that involves sex.
So you think it's a cultural influence,
right,
in terms of popular culture. Annie Adams, when you encounter young people who find themselves pregnant and they're still in high school, I know that there are as many scenarios as there are people, but can you give us an example of one who might be sort of typical?
Yes, well, with Communities and Schools, why we are able to have such a good vehicle into the schools is we have such a great relationship with New Hanover and Pender County Schools. And so we have student support specialists that are inside the schools. So once a girl finds out that she's pregnant, or even the father finds out that his girlfriend is pregnant, the counselor directly refers them to our student support specialist. And so that immediately is a resource in the schools that we're at. And those parents are able to understand what the services are here in our two counties that we serve. So I think that initial referral is a hope. And we also try to communicate with their parents as well and let their parents know that there are supportive systems in place and resources for that teenage parent to succeed in parenting and have a healthy delivery, as well as ways to support that child as that child grows up.
So tell us a story of an actual girl who found herself pregnant, and give us the specifics, not her name, of course, and no identifying details.
Yes.
But tell us her story.
I have a wonderful story. I used to work closely at New Hanover High School, and I had a student that came to me right after prom and said, "Miss Annie, I found myself pregnant." And I have walked with that young lady until currently, still walking and loving her and her daughter. Her daughter now attends one of the schools, Snipes, that we are at. And so now we have a site coordinator at Snipes still serving that child. And so that's what we're really seeing, is really breaking down this and really helping this problem of teenage pregnancy, is starting from when that teenager gets pregnant in high school all the way through continuing to help that child and her own child develop healthily, going to pre-K centers, healthy childcare centers, and then once they're in public school, being able to serve her throughout the public school.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. It's a conversation about teen pregnancy, the risks for parents and baby, and how a couple of local programs are working to improve outcomes for these at-risk families. Annie Adams of Communities in Schools and Donna Roby Sullivan of Samaras Village are taking your questions on this Wednesday. You can reach us today at 910-343-1138 or at coastline@whqr.org. The phone lines are now open. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn for Coastline. Listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. We're talking today about the risks and challenges that kids face when they have babies before they've grown up themselves. And we're talking with two people in the community who are working to help these young families. Annie Adams is a teen parent specialist with Communities in Schools in New Hanover and Pender County. And Donna Roby Sullivan is a founding director and the current treasurer of Samaras Village, a relatively new nonprofit set up in Brunswick County to help teens and their babies there. And they're taking your questions on this Wednesday. You can call us at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. Annie Adams, just before we went to break, you were telling us about a teen, the story of one particular teen who came to you and said, "Miss Annie, I'm pregnant." What were her home circumstances like? Did she come from a family of means, or was it a poorer family in town?
Yes, she came from a family with a poor poor situation. Her mom herself was a teen parent who had multiple children in the house. This young lady was a prom queen and very successful at New Hanover and had everything going for her, and found herself pregnant. But she has done an amazing job becoming a mother and raising her child and getting a great job. And what's really exciting for us is that now she serves as our teen parent support in our family support program that we run in New Hanover County. And so now she's serving to encourage mothers, teen mothers in our local schools who we're working with, to keep going after their dreams and to be a good mother and raise good, healthy children.
Is her boyfriend the one who is the father of that baby still in her life?
Unfortunately, he has passed, so he is not.
I'm sorry. Donna Roby Sullivan, one of the goals of Samaras Village is to include the father in the life of that baby. Why is this important, especially when we're talking about a teenage boy, usually?
Well, our whole program is based on building relationships and to help improve the relationships between the mother's parents, the father. We have a program, again, it's an evidence-based program, 24/7 Dad. And it's a mentoring program and broken into two parts, AM and PM. So the fathers will be attending those classes, mentoring sessions, and learn about what their responsibilities are. We would love to see all the fathers involved with the teen mother, but that doesn't always happen.
You're a numbers person, so can you give us a sort of estimate of the percentage of dads who are actually involved?
I can't give you a percentage of the ones involved that are in our program because we're fairly new, but we do know that about 75% of the fathers do not stay with the girl.
And so this is usually something when it happens to a teenage girl, it becomes exclusively the burden of the teenage girl.
Yes, and her family in a lot of cases.
And how do families often react? The parents of the person who just found out she's pregnant, usually this isn't in line with what the parents had in mind.
Right. They had great hopes for their daughter. And in our particular case, we do a lot of family support counseling along with the private attendance with the home visitor. The idea is that the girl, as well as the family, would make goals, personal goals for the teen mom, educational goals, maybe a health goal. And the interpersonal goals almost always have to do with the family. So.
And can you give us an example of what one might be?
For the girl, maybe she has anger issues. She's been angry with her parents for years. The conversations are generally loud at their homes. So it could be to temper their tones when they talk to each other, to allow the person talking do complete what they're saying before they say what they have to say. So,
Annie Adams, with communities and schools, do you ever work with the teenage mom who's got parents who are just not on board and they're not handling it well and they're not really turning into a great support system for this girl who needs them now more than ever?
Yes, unfortunately, that happens very often. And sometimes it's a problem that we can address and we can work with, and sometimes it's not. I mean, inevitably, not every child that is in high school have supportive parents. And so I think that's something that people have to consider, that when you yourself are in a home that is not supportive, you make some bad choices and some choices that are unhealthy choices. So, but we do have a family strengthening program as well that we run, and our goal is to bring in that whole supportive family, because we appreciate, for the sake of the baby just doesn't need the teen mom or the teen dad, they need the whole supportive. So we really try to bring a group of trained professionals to come together to really build that circle for that baby, because for the sake of the baby, we're all here. And so that's our main focus, is to try to figure out how to bring that supportive network and whatever that looks like. Sometimes that's not the nuclear family. Sometimes it's a little different. But in each case, we try really hard to remind the whole family that they're here for the sake of that baby.
You're listening to Coastline. It's a conversation about teenage pregnancy, the risks for the young parents and the baby, and what kinds of programs are available helping these young parents keep up their education, keep families together, and teach new parents how to be better parents than their own parents might have been. Here to answer your questions, Annie Adams. She's a teen parent specialist with communities in schools in New Hanover and Pender counties. And Donna Roby Sullivan. She's founding director and current treasurer of Samara's Village, a nonprofit launched in Brunswick County to help teen parents and their infants. And they're taking your questions on this Wednesday at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Donna Roby Sullivan, is Samara's Village has a Hebrew name. Tell us what that Hebrew name means and how this came to be.
Well, Samara is a name that means under God's protection. And, of course, village, because it takes a village to raise a child. I think one of the most important things about supporting teen pregnancy programs, such as the ones in New Hanover, Pender County, and ours in Brunswick County, is the fact that it's an investment in the future of the community. This is not just about the teen mom and the teen dad, or even the families. It's about raising a child that's going to be a future citizen of the county, and then their children as well. So it's for long term. We're here for a long time. So
when we look at whether teens are more or less sexually active than they were a generation or two ago, do either of you have a sense of that? Are there more teens who are practicing abstinence, or why is the pregnancy rate dropping? Or is it more use of birth control? Donna Roby Sullivan.
Well, we saw a large drop back, I think it was in 2014. There was a significant drop in teen pregnancy. The morning after pill came about that year. So that one could be a reason. Are teens less sexually active? I would say no. They have a greater awareness of birth control and how to avoid pregnancy. But at the same time, it's not just pregnancy, it's sexually transmitted diseases that become an issue.
Samara's Village, is this a Christian-based program?
We are not a faith-based nonprofit. However, we do have values that value all life.
And does that inform the way you counsel young moms? I mean, do you teach abstinence once they're pregnant, that ship has sailed. But what's your take on that, sexual health and sexual activity among teens? And
well,
what do you tell them?
Of course, when we get the mom, she's already pregnant, so it's hard to preach abstinence. But we have another program. It's called Be Proud, Be Responsible, and Be Protected. And it's a secondary pregnancy prevention program. And there are others, but that particular curriculum is geared more to women that are pregnant already or have already had a baby. So.
And so you are teaching use of condoms for...
Definitely, yes. That's a part of it, how to use it, why to use it. And we also encourage girls to have less sexual partners than they may have had in the past.
And how do you do that? What is that connected to? Is that the be proud part?
Yeah. Yes. And be responsible too. The whole concept of Samara's Village is to build a trusting relationship with a girl, so they're more likely to share their day-to-day lives, their sexual activity. So the home visitors really have a very strong bond with each of the girls that they are counseling.
Annie Adams, with communities and schools, do you counsel young women about sexual activity after they've become pregnant? Is that part of your program?
Yes, we bring in Dana King from Planned Parenthood, and she runs a wonderful session with our both our moms and dads. They come together for that time frame to talk about being responsible and talk about delaying a second pregnancy. But I think also a huge key with this is just trust and hope and a positive relationship. I think what we're doing in all three counties is really just connecting someone to a glimmer of hope and to a responsible adult who really cares about them. I think primarily a lot of reasons why these teenagers are being irresponsible is that they're just not having that hope and that connection. So they're just reaching out for something. And unfortunately, that's not the best choice. And I think with that, they see that. So when they come to a program or have a healthy home visitor that they're seeing, wow, someone really cares about me and someone wants the best for me and now the best for my baby. And I think with that, they start making more positive choices.
So at this point, they may have more support than they've ever had before in their lives.
Exactly. And I was going to say that with the with your question about when the support people come in, usually the mother, now the grandmother of the baby, they're usually not wanting to be there. Like you said, it's a very hopeless situation that they're finding themselves in. But now they're coming into these family support groups and they're thinking, wow, again, there's other people here that care about me and there's other moms here that are in this situation. And they start to have this camaraderie, this sense of community. And a lot of this is just building a healthy network for them. And by the eighth night at the end of the program, it's like, I don't want this to be over. No, I love this. And so that's what we really see is just people need to be more connected. I think every community needs to be more connected. And so finding ways to support programs and provide programs in all three counties is really what's so important to kind of bridge these gap in these highly stressful homes.
Is there ever a circumstance when, I think I've said young woman a couple of times, and I want to keep using the term girl because these are children that we're talking about who are getting pregnant. Has there ever been a time when a girl has come to either of you and told you about being pregnant and the best answer in that circumstance might be an abortion? Is that ever part of the conversation?
Yes.
Annie
yes.
Adams,
yes.
For you it is in communities and schools.
Yes, right. Absolutely. It's a choice, you know, and that I've had some that have decided to go that route and I've had some that have decided not to go that route. And so I think that to just provide supportive programs and for people and listeners that are listening right now to know that there are these resources, the more that people know that, I think the woman that the teen mom who's in this position of do I abort this baby is knowing that there are other interventions involved. And I think another huge thing is adoption. There's so many people that want to adopt in this community. And unfortunately, adoption in this demographic of teen parents is not something that is highly endorsed. And I feel like that's something that I would love for someone to make a huge campaign out of, because I think there's so many wonderful people who want to adopt and are looking for these situations. So I think that's another thing, if we can kind of champion adoption, is a really a proud choice for a lot of these teen parents to make.
You're saying that option is underutilized and
absolutely
in this area. Mm-hmm. Donna Roby Sullivan, is there ever a time that you've counseled a girl to abort the pregnancy?
I haven't personally, but I do know that our licensed social worker, they have, if a girl is considering abortion, they have some materials to educate them on that. If they should decide to go ahead and go that route, we would not turn them away from the program, but we would give them some grief counseling afterwards.
Is that something that you have a position on? You said earlier that you're a life-affirming kind of organization. So is that a sad outcome? Is that a bad outcome from where you sit? Or is it right for some people? Or I'm putting you in the hot seat, but this is really, I mean, the reason that I'm asking this is I'm a pregnant teenager and I've had a lot of things go wrong in my life. And I'm coming to you now at my most vulnerable and probably in a very dark place. And so I'm wondering what kind of potential judgment I'm going to get about my life and what I've failed at so far.
Well, the one thing that they would never get any kind of judgment from us, if they make that decision, we're still there for them. So, you know, my personal values, I'm pro-life, but the girl will never get judgment from one of our counselors or our home visitors.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're talking about the challenges and the risks of teenage pregnancy for both young moms and dads and babies. And we're taking your questions on this Wednesday. You can call us at 910-343-1138 or email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Annie Adams, do you notice in New Hanover and Pender counties an ethnic disparity in the kids who become pregnant? Do fewer white people become pregnant than kids who come from families of color? Or is that not really a determiner?
We definitely have more that are African American and Hispanic, but there definitely are some that are white. I think everyone, but we do try to serve all ethnicities. But it's definitely more of ethnic backgrounds. I think that but all who come to our program, they definitely feel at first it's kind of because we have to have translators for some, and it's still the same thing once they're there and they see that, hey, I'm here in this community of support. We're all the same. Like, we might look different, we might speak a different language, but we're coming together with the same desire for the sake of the baby. And that's what we always try to bring it back to, that we're all kind of, we've all gotten here in different ways. We have professionals that have gotten here in different ways, but we're all here for the sake of the baby. And that's what's so important. And so we just try to stress that now we're a part of this community. And even though you might look different or come from different backgrounds, that we're all now here together. And I love bringing my own children to these programs, and they get to meet different children. And it's really what it's all about. It's just a community coming together to support one another.
Do you ever find that kids who get pregnant from families who have means are more likely to be maybe pressured into having an abortion by their parents than other kids? Is that a factor, Annie Adams?
I wouldn't think so, no.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. It's a conversation about teenage pregnancy in the Cape Fear region, how local efforts, local programs are reaching these kids. When we come back from this break, it'll be your last chance to ask your own question. You can call us on this Wednesday at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. You're listening to Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. We're talking today with Donna Roby Sullivan of Samara's Village, a nonprofit based in Brunswick County to help teenagers who become parents navigate the new challenges they face. Also with us is Annie Adams, teen parent specialist with communities in schools in New Hanover and Pender counties. And they're answering your questions on this Wednesday at 910-343-1138. We're also taking emailed questions or comments at coastline@whqr.org. Donna Roby Sullivan, we talked before the break a little bit about how girls who become pregnant while they're still in school may be feeling a lot of judgment and a lot of sense of a lot of fear and maybe failure, and they feel ashamed of where they are. At what is it true that many of these young girls try to hide their pregnancies as long as they can?
Yes, that is true, unfortunately, and that impacts their prenatal care and the baby when they're born as far as low birth rate or birth defects, that type of thing. So, you know, sometimes we don't see a girl until she's like at the end of her second trimester. That's when she can't hide the pregnancy anymore and she has to let somebody know.
And at that point, she comes to you, and she's not chastised for not having
right.
talked about it before.
Well, she may not come directly to us. We depend on referrals from the schools, from Novant, OBGYN, who see most of the young girls, and they take Medicaid. So, then family members will refer the girls through our website.
Annie Adams with Communities and Schools.
Yes, and what we're seeing is, this is our huge push to try to get more student support specialists in the high schools, because we are seeing that a teenage student in a high school reports sooner to a counselor or social worker within the school, which then they refer to our student support specialist to get immediate care. So the sooner that the student knows about the pregnancy and they know that there is a resource within the school, the earlier the prenatal care and the earlier the support happens. And so I think that's what's so important, is to let the community know that there are such resources as us, and the earlier that they can be identified, the better outcome for the baby and the teenage mom.
Okay, so talk to me for a moment. I'm a pregnant teenage girl. What risk am I taking by not getting medical care, by not getting prenatal care in the first trimester?
Early intervention is very important to find out exactly what you should be eating, any kind of behavior that you should be not partaking in anymore. Having education about what your changes to your body. We literally had a...
What could happen to my baby if I don't find this out?
Yeah, your baby could suffer from this. Your baby could have birth defects. Your baby could be not getting the prenatal care that baby might need. So there's a lot of risks that are involved with not knowing and not sharing this with a medical professional. And so and as well as emotionally. So if a mom is denying that, just trying to wear, you know, bigger clothes or put rubber bands on her pants so that her pants still fit, she is denying herself and her baby care that she and the baby needs.
So at that point, she's not really connecting the well-being of her baby to this shame that she's feeling.
And that's what we're really seeking, is that, you know, the baby, you know, in utero is just as important as the baby that is out of the belly. And so we're really trying to say, and in our program, we serve pregnant moms, not just those that have had the baby. So to say that, you know, it's important to talk to your baby and sing to your baby, even if your baby is still in your belly, and just that emotional connection is so key early on.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. It's a conversation about teenage pregnancy with Donna Roby Sullivan, founding director and current treasurer of Samara's Village, a nonprofit in Brunswick County, and Annie Adams, a teen parent specialist with Communities in Schools in New Hanover and Pender counties. You can ask your own question on this Wednesday by calling us at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Jesse from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I'm wondering if the guests have noticed in the community that the fathers or expected fathers, the man that the girls think is the father, are younger or typically older than the mother?
That's a great question. Annie Adams.
That is a great question, Jesse. And yes, I think mostly they're their own peers. We have some situations where the father is older, but primarily it is the same peers. And we really try hard to have that teenage father be as much part. And it's not just for teen moms, but also for teen dads. And I think that connection is so important. Even if the two are not together anymore, we still try to stress the importance, for the sake of the baby, that father is involved. And even if that father didn't have his own father in his life, just to really make a difference and to believe that you can break the chain and you can do this and raise a healthy child. And we also try to give them supportive programs and initiatives and help them with a job to really get them graduate from high school and on a healthy track themselves.
Jesse, thank you so much for that call. Have you encountered girls who have become pregnant because of abuse by older family members or older friends? Annie Adams.
Yes, unfortunately, we've had several cases here in New Hanover County where the mother's boyfriend has gotten the teenage girl and even a teenage girl in middle school pregnant. And so now trying to deal with that dynamic is obviously very difficult, even if that man is currently serving in prison. But still, the fact that there has been a distrust in the home and that there is now a baby that has been a byproduct of the situation. So that's been very trying for our staff to work with that and try to support that situation.
How do you start to bridge the gap between teenage pregnant mom and new grandma when new grandma hasn't really protected her daughter from this kind of assault? Is there, how do you do that?
I think just through our professionals that we bring in to try to just break down those walls and just try to remember that we're here for the sake of the baby and that this baby can be and should be a blessing in this situation, even though it's through a very difficult, trying situation, is just to remember that, you know, we all make mistakes, but going forward, how can we support and encourage each other, as well as providing any kind of additional resources and support that that they deserve and need.
Donna Roby Sullivan.
Well, I think that the family support counseling would be a big part of that situation. We haven't seen that in Brunswick County as yet, but we do know that it exists.
Are there cases, Donna Roby Sullivan, when sometimes it's better for the teenage girl to just get away from a toxic home? I know you're focused on keeping the homes together,
right,
but is that always the best?
Right. And we've had situations where the home life was not good and the girl left the home, went to stay with a friend or, you know, for her pregnancy. And then that friend becomes the coach in, like, childbirthing and stuff like that. So, yeah.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM, talking about teenage pregnancy today. Gary from Brunswick County, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
I was wondering how many of these girls suffer from low self-esteem and what Samaras Village would do to correct that or help that out.
Donna Roby Sullivan, thank you so much for your question, Gary.
Thank you. Yes, self-esteem is a big issue with teens in general. That's a tough time in every girl and young man's life. Hormones are waging, your body's changing. There's all sorts of things going on, and if they don't have the best home life, if they haven't been built up through their lifetime, the low self-esteem is a huge issue. The family support counseling, the time with the home visitor, those are all corrective actions. Those are times to help build that self-esteem.
We had a caller earlier ask, Anne from Wilmington asks, do you also make an effort to make the fathers of these children responsible for the pregnancy and the child, which sounds like a little different concept from involving the young dad if that's what he wants. But Annie Adams, does anyone ever go after that kid and say, hey, this baby is part yours, so
yes,
you're going to participate?
Absolutely. I mean, our student support specialists within the schools definitely try to encourage the father to take responsibility and to be a positive role model and a good father for that baby, as well as I've definitely counseled some young moms to file for child support, go through that process. There are definitely some programs that in here in New Hanover County that a young mom can take advantage of, such as like a employment agency. But with that, they first have to file child support on the dads. And so really trying to say, you know, that is okay. Like, even though maybe he doesn't want to be a part, he still needs to be responsible. So we definitely do encourage that and promote that and try to give them resources to and how to make that possible.
Donna Roby Sullivan, you've said, we talked earlier about the numbers can get kind of confusing because, you know, the national numbers say the U.S. has the highest rate of teen pregnancy among industrialized nations. But then we're saying, well, the numbers have dropped and we're at a historic low over the last few years. But no, Brunswick County is above that, slightly above the historic low. You say even though the numbers are dropping in Brunswick County, more younger teenagers are getting pregnant. Tell us about that.
I mean, you can look at the numbers for the 15 to 17 year olds, and those are significantly higher. So the girls are the overall rate's going down, but they're getting young pregnant at a younger age, and our county, and I don't believe any county collects any data on girls under 15. So,
are you seeing girls under 15 come to Samara's Village?
Well, they haven't come to Samara's Village, but we're definitely aware of girls under the age of 15 that have been pregnant.
Do either of you think that the age when kids start engaging in sexual activity, just in general, is that dropping? Are kids engaging younger and younger? Annie Adams?
I would say yes. I mean, I don't have the stats to prove that, but yes. And I think that we have served under 15, and I unfortunately that exists and does happen. And so all the more so for more supportive programs and more intervention needed.
What changes whether a kid is likely to engage in sexual activity? And we're putting abuse aside for right now because a kid has no control over that. But what other determinants are there in whether a child will choose to abstain or engage responsibly or not?
I think a lot of it is just having a caring adult in their life, whether that is a parent or a coach or a teacher, someone like from our agencies that are out there trying to be advocates for teenagers. I think the more mentors that we have in our community, they're seeing a direct correlation with mentorship. So I think the more that community can get involved will decrease the risky behavior and the hopelessness that a lot of these children and teenagers are finding themselves in and decline from sexual activity.
Donna Roby Sullivan.
Well, you know, I think at age 12, a child can be left at home alone. It's what they call the latchkey kids. So, without adult supervision, a young teen is much more likely to be watching something on television or cruising the internet and going places that maybe they shouldn't. So they're exposed to, at a much younger age, they're exposed to the sexual mysteries. And they're curious.
And so what would you say to parents who actually could have some influence at this point over that trajectory? And I'm talking about parents of teenagers.
Okay. I would say that if you have a middle schooler or a high schooler, you need to be involved in their lives. You need to know what they're doing. You need to protect the internet at your house to make sure that they cannot go places that they should not be going. Just overall, talk to your child. Open the conversation. They need to know about sex. They need to know about the consequences that of sex in their lives. Teenagers. Well, actually, teenagers, their brain's not fully developed. It's not until a person is about 25 years old that frontal lobe is fully developed.
And the frontal lobe is connected to?
To making good decisions, sound judgments. So that is a really important thing. You need the influence of responsible adults or a mentor to guide them in the right way so they make good decisions.
Annie Adams.
Yeah, and I always try to tell parents that when your child is reaching middle school and high school, to lean in. Don't pull back. That is the time where you as a parent need to lean in as much as possible.
And that's when the kid is pushing back the most.
Exactly. But ultimately, they're still a child, like Debbie said. And so the more that you as a parent can lean in, and if it's not you, if you are not the one that's connecting with your child for whatever reason, find another caring adult that can be that. And I think that is so important for listeners to know that as much as you can lean in to a teenage child, the better that their outcome of their lives and their choices that they can make.
Okay, just less than a minute left. If I know someone who's a teenage girl who doesn't want her identity revealed, she's pregnant, she's looking for resources, how does she find somebody?
Annie Yes, Adams. In New Hanover, Pender County, please contact us at Communities and Schools. Our website is www.ciscapefear.org. We would love to help you and get you involved and to try to be a resource for you.
Donna Roby Sullivan.
And in Brunswick County, we can be reached at 910-294-0292 and at samarasvillage.org.
And we'll put those on our website as well with this post. That's this edition of Coastline. Donna Roby Sullivan, Annie Adams, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coastline's executive producer is Cleve Callison. Producer is Isabel Shepherd. Technical director is Ken Campbell. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at whqr.org. Get the podcast at iTunes, or you can find us on HQR's app. Tune in for the rebroadcast of this episode Sunday afternoon at 3. Join us for Coastline Live Wednesdays and Thursdays at noon here on HQR News 91.3 FM. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.